And that's the truth. Amen. And amen. All right, let's open up with a word of prayer, okay? Father, we thank you for today. Father, we thank you that you are in our presence. And Father, we thank you that we don't have to listen to the lies of this world, but that we have the truth that lives inside of us. We have the truth and the way and the life that lives inside of us. And God, we are so thankful for that. Father, I pray you will just speak today. I pray that people that are here will have ears to hear and a heart to receive as we look at your word. Speak to Father, if you would please, in your name. Amen. We'll be back in Philippians if you want to turn there. Philippians 2, as we are progressing through that great book. The book that the Apostle Paul wrote while he was sitting in prison, falsely charged. Paul is facing death and he knows it. He knows that he probably won't get out of that Roman prison. And he pens this letter to the church of Philippi, hoping that they will take it to heart. Hoping that if this is his last words to them, that they will carefully take it in and live by these words. You see, he loved this church. He loved it and he wanted nothing but the best for this church. And he pens these words to encourage them. Even if he is to be gone, if he never comes to see them again, he pens these words. We looked at in chapter 1, Paul was teaching them how to grow spiritually. How to grow more in love with the Lord. How to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to be able to praise him. And he wanted them to make sure that they understood that we can really grow in our love for the Lord and other people. We've looked at chapter 2 where it talks about the unity. Unity among believers and unity in the church. And why can we have that unity among believers and the church? It's because we have one common denominator, do we not? And that is Jesus Christ. And how Jesus humbly came to this world and suffered tremendous humiliation because he loved us so much. And Paul wanted to make that emphasis that he did come to us and he humiliated himself. And today we're going to look at the second part of chapter 2 there, how we as his people, as God's people, can use the example that Christ gave us and to use it and to put it into our own lives. How do we flesh out this great humiliation of Christ and this service of Christ and this loving of others by Christ? How do we flesh that out? So that's what we're going to be looking at today in this second part of the second chapter of Philippians. The title of the message is kind of interesting because it came right from this word. And it says, working out your faith. Working out your faith. In a sense, that should be a little bit of a head scratcher. What does that mean to work out your faith? Because we read in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, we read that verse. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation does not come from works. You cannot be good enough to get yourself into heaven. Did you know that? You can't be nice enough. You can't help enough little old ladies across the street to be able to deserve to be in heaven. You can't attend church enough. You can't give enough. Don't forget that part. But you cannot give enough to get you into heaven. You just can't do it. It is impossible. See, the Bible says, Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, there's no not one. There's no one that understands, and there's no one that seeks the Lord. And of course, Romans 3:23 says what? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Your good works will not get you into heaven. I want to get that cleared up first, because we're going to talk about works today. And I want you to understand, works does not give you salvation. All right, let's go on. Verse 12. Let's read verse 12 and see what it has to say here. It says, so then, my beloved, that is Christian friends in the Philippi, the church, and I believe even Arapahoe First Baptist Church, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Paul compliments this church body. He has something good to say. He said, if I'm there, you are so faithful. And he said, if I'm not there, you are so faithful. You are serving the Lord. You are working as being good Christians. You are obeying the word. You're serving others. And he says, man, I just got to compliment you, because whether I'm there or I'm not there, you are still serving the Lord. And as I was thinking about that, I thought, you know, that kind of sounds like Arapahoe First Baptist Church. That we are so faithful in the way we serve, and so faithful in the way we give, and faithful in how we love on each other. And I think Paul, as he's writing to the church of Philippi, I believe that he's talking about our church, is my prayer. Hopefully it is. So if salvation is not about works, but it's about grace, then it says what? How do we work out our salvation? How do we work out our salvation? Well, that's an interesting question. If we've been saved, how do we work that out? Well, just let me tell you. That word work out means to finish, to complete, to accomplish a purpose. When you got saved, God says, now get to work. He said, when you got saved, you got something to do. You are not going to sit around and just sit and soak. I have something for you to do. It is beginning the process of embracing the Christian life. It is beginning the process of learning what God wants you to do. That's working out your salvation. Figuring out what God wants you to do. I believe it's also reading His Word, taking time to read His Word. I believe it's taking the time to pray to Him, finding a time where you speak to Him. That's working out your salvation. I believe it's working out your salvation as a living a life that is pleasing to Him. I believe working your salvation out is not pursuing your own desires and your own kinds of life, but is pursuing a lifestyle that brings you more like Christ in your life. I believe working out your faith is a lifetime experience of growing in your faith and your love for the Lord. I believe it's also learning what He needs and having a knowledge of the Lord in your life. Growing in your knowledge, growing in how much you know about the Lord. That is working at your salvation, I believe. I believe it's giving up your own life in order to bring honor and glory to Him. And how long does that take? How long as Christians are we to work out our salvation after we've been saved? The Bible says He will work out your salvation until the time that you pass from this life into the other life. I like this chapter 1 of Philippians, verse 6. For I'm confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ. You see, you got saved, and from that point on, you are working out your faith. You are doing those things that cause you to grow, to cause you to fall more in love with the Lord, to cause you to more fall in more love with other people like He's called us to do. It is falling more in love with Christ so that we live a life that looks more like Christ and not a life that looks like the world. You got saved, He didn't tell you to sit around and do nothing. James 1:17 says this, faith without works is dead. Faith, your belief, without doing something about it, is dead. 2:18 of James says, I will show you my faith by my works. Okay? I will show you my faith by my works. I will show you that I have been born again. And how do you know that? Because of the things that I do for the Lord. They're not giving you salvation. That's grace through faith in Christ. But it will reflect the way I do things. It will reflect that I truly have been born again. And then he says at the end of that verse, work out your salvation, yes, with fear and trembling. That's kind of an interesting phrase, isn't it? With fear and trembling. You don't see many of that kinds of phrases in the Bible, with fear and trembling. I mean, because we have peace with God, you know, and he's our shelter and all that kind of stuff. What does it mean there where it says fear and trembling? Well, you know, this whole life can be pretty good most days. I mean, the Bible talks about abundant life, and we can have a life of peace, but the reality is usually life is not always like that, is it? We know life can be hard. We have struggles, and we have trials, we have temptations, we have tragedies that come up, we have death, we have disease. I mean, you just kind of name the whole thing. And how do we live an abundant life? How do we do that with all that junk that happens that comes into our life? How do we do that? Well, there's only one way, isn't it? And that one way is through having Christ in your heart. Because you see, when life gets so hard and difficult and questions and all that stuff comes into your mind, where do we focus our hearts and minds on? One day we're going to be with Him in eternity. No matter what we deal with here, if we have been born again, we have a home in heaven. And as life gets difficult and struggles and loss and we lose others, we focus our hearts and minds on that one day we will be with Him in eternal paradise. That is really a good thing. So what does fear and trembling mean as we living out our lives and our salvation? I think there's three things that it means that fear and trembling that applies to us, I believe. I think the first one is we have to understand that the trials and temptations of this world are strong and our flesh is very weak, are they not? The struggles of this life, the temptations are strong. They pull at us. And our flesh is very weak. We must understand that. Because you see, we have an enemy that wants to bring us down. We have an enemy that wants to kill your joy, steal your peace, and destroy your testimony as a Christian. And we must be on guard as Christians, knowing that our enemy is going to try to do that to us. That he wants to take away all the joy that we have and all the peace and our testimony that we speak about. And he wants to take that away from us. We must be on guard as a Christian, knowing that we will be under attack. Because you see, the more that we do for Christ, the stronger stand that we take for Christ, the more the enemy that we have is going to attack us. And we must be aware of that, and we must guard against that. And we must work out our salvation, if you would, with fear and trembling, or with a healthy fear, knowing that we will be under attack because we have been born again. We must watch out and be aware that we will be attacked by the enemy. I think the second thing it says about fear and trembling is we must live a life that is not disappointing to God. Live a life that's not disappointing to God. You know, when you stop and think about what the price that God had to pay in order to provide salvation for you, the price that God paid by having to put His Son on the cross, the price that Jesus paid by enduring what He had to endure. And you all know what He had to endure. And as we think about those kinds of things, I mean, it was so bad that even God the Father couldn't even look upon His Son on the cross because He became sin, the one who knew no sin. As we put that thought into our minds, why would we ever want to pursue a life of sinfulness? a life away from the Lord, a life that disappoints our Lord after all what he did for us. You see, we have to be on guard on that. We have to understand that he knows the things that we do. And are we disappointing the one who died for us with the way we live, the way we speak, the way we talk, the way we act? You see, that I think that is working on our salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that I don't want to disappoint my Lord. I don't want to do that. I just don't want to do things that will disappoint him because of the great price that he paid in order to pay my sin debt on the cross. I don't want to disappoint him. So we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that I don't want ever to do that. And when I do, I have to confess and get forgiven because of that. And I think the third way of working our salvation out with fear and trembling is understanding that one day, we will stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible calls that judgment day for the Christian, okay? Where we will stand before Jesus and we will give an account of our life. We won't give an account of our sin. Okay, we're not going to be judged by our sin, are we? Because guess what happened when we made Christ our Lord and Savior? He took that on the cross. He took our sins, and now we are forgiven of those. We'll never be judged because of our sins. But we will be judged because of our words and our actions and our deeds and our motivations and our thoughts. We will all give an account one of these days. We'll stand before holy Jesus and we'll give an account. And all those things that we did in our lives for our own strength, our own glory, look at me, what I'm doing. The Bible says that when we do it for ourselves, everything we've done for ourselves, the Bible says that one day we'll all be burned up. Will have absolutely zero value. Oh, wow. But the things we did for Christ, the things we spoke, the things that we did, the things that we tried to do to bring him glory and not me glory. You know what the Bible says? It says we will be given one of five crowns. We will give at least one crown, or we might get as many as five crowns. You see, he will be rewarded on that great judgment day because of the way we took Christ in our lives and how we used Christ and followed him and obeyed him and shared him. And we'll receive a great reward because of that. You see, I think that fear and trembling working out our salvation, that's a biggie. Knowing that one day we will give an account of how we lived this life. Not our sins, but an account of the way we lived. Matthew 10:28 says it this way. And this is Jesus speaking. It says, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Verse 13, let's move on. How else do we work out our salvation? Verse 13, "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." We work out our salvation by obedience, being obedient to the Lord. You know, it's a really wonderful truth there that God has given us things to do. And he just, once we get saved and make him Lord and Savior, we're just not on our own. Did you know that? We have the God of the universe through the Holy Spirit that lives within inside of us. You understand that? And his job is to energize us and to direct us and to point us in the direction of serving our Lord. He gives us a plan for our life, and we are to follow it, and we can do those things that the Bible has asked us to do because we have the Holy Spirit that lives within inside of us. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of every born-again believer. Did you know that? So you say, "Well, I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't." Well, yeah, you can if God has called you to do that. because we have that Spirit that lives within us. And you see, when we agree to that, when we figure out what the Lord wants from us, to forgive that unforgivable person, to love that unlovable person, to do, we can do that because of God who lives inside of us. But the tragedy of many Christians in their lives is we choose not to. We choose to ignore the Word of God. We neglect the Word of God, or we just flat say, I ain't doing that. That ain't for me. And we walk alive, I know what God's Word says. I really do. You can say that. I know what He says. Or I know what I think He's telling me as I read His Word. But you know what? I don't want to do that. I'm just not going to do that. No, you can't do that. Well, you can. That's not obedience. That's not working out your salvation. But so many times we do that, even as Christians. We know what He says. But I just don't want to do that. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, there ain't nothing right about that. Okay? Because you see, the God of the universe has a great plan for you, and He will never, ever, ever, never, ever, never take you down the wrong path and tell you to do something that's not the best for you. Never will. Sometimes the invitation time at church, okay? The invitation time at church. There are times that I know for a fact that some of us are convicted of something, okay? Something that's been said in the message, something that you read, the song, whatever it is, Holy Spirit has brought conviction on your heart to either to pray about it, to deal with it, or for the unbeliever to come accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. And how do I phrase that every invitation time? I don't know how the Lord has spoken to you, but I want you to do business with the Lord. And what am I talking about? If God has spoken to you during this message, during this service, He wants you to do something about it. He wants you to respond to it. He wants you to, that didn't necessarily come up here, but make an altar there in your pew and ask God and to pray what God wants you to do about this. You see, because if you are believe that God wants you to do something and you don't do it, that's sinful, okay? That's not working out your salvation. And I can tell you this, the more times that you do that, we'll just say in the invitation time, the more time you go, not today, God, not today. Next Sunday, not today, God. Next Sunday, not today, God. Eventually, the Holy Spirit will quit talking to you and trying to lead you down that path. You see, we can really quench the Spirit of the Holy Spirit by just saying, giving Him a stiff arm, say, not today, buddy. No. See, that's a tragedy in the life of a Christian. You cannot work out your salvation by not being obedient. Verse 14, real quickly. Working out your salvation said, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Work out your salvation without grumbling, criticizing, being judgmental, mumbling, complaining. Uh-oh, preacher, you're stepping on some toes here. You better tread lightly here, buddy. There's no room in a church for people that complain, criticize, judgmental, or unloving. Okay? There's no room for it. Why is there no room for that? Because that does not come from God. That does not come from God. To be critical of someone, critical of me, critical of anybody in this church, not from God, not in this church. And Paul is telling them, you can't do that. If you want to work out your salvation, you go gripe somewhere else. Okay? Go gripe someplace else because it's not here. Because you see, when you have a spirit of that, all you're doing is hurting people, destroying people, tearing people down, and it will destroy the unity of the body. And that's what this chapter is all about, is unity of the body. So Paul is saying, hey, don't be a complainer, don't be a griper, don't be a criticizer, don't be a judgmentaler, if that's a word, I don't know if it is or not. Don't be an unlovable, if I don't know if that's a word either. He said, don't do it, because that's not from God. And if you want to tear a church up, Paul would say, you want to tear a church up, then you be one of them. Because when you get one of them, you're going to have two of them. Because when somebody's griping and complaining, there's going to be somebody listening. And let me tell you something, I got a better story than what you just told me. I got a better gripe than what you just said. And what it does, it spreads like wildfire in a church. And Paul says, man, don't let that ever happen. Don't let that into your church, because it will destroy the unity of the church. What a warning from Paul. Let's move on. Real quickly, verse 15. I smell good food back here. We got to go. 15. So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. We work out our salvation by living pure and holy lives. Christians, we are called to be holy. We are called to be pure. We are called to live blamelessly in the eyes of this world. That's working at your faith. We're called to do that. We are called not to watch those things, listen to those things, read those things that will pull us away from our walk with the Lord. Did you know that? Not supposed to do it. Working out our salvation, we got to be pure. How do we become pure? We don't do those things that the world says, hey, this is okay, try this, do this, read this. Some great verses in Psalm that I just want to emphasize to you on this deal. I don't have much to say on that deal. But here is what Psalm 1 says. I love this. It says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. How blessed is the one that is not pure, does not pursue the evilness of the world. But then verse 2, I like verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in the law, he meditates day and night. See, how do we live a pure, holy, a blameless kind of a life? Okay? We don't associate, in a sense, all those folks that are want to bring you down. But the wicked of this world, those folks that do not believe like you do, do not think like you do, have never made Christ their Lord and Savior, there's not a common denominator there. Don't spend time, because they will bring you down. Bad company corrupts good morals. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Okay? But he says what? Meditate on the law of the Lord. And he meditates on that day and night. You see, as Christians, to work out our salvation, we must spend time in his word and know what his word says. Because we will have a whole group of people that will tell you differently than what it says. You must know what the word says in order to work out your salvation. Real quickly, verse 16, and we'll be done. It says, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I do not run in vain nor toil in vain. And basically says, I didn't waste my life. Okay? What's he talking about there? To hold fast the word of life. The word of life is the gospel. In order to work out your salvation, you must be a people who are willing to witness about Christ. You must be willing to tell somebody of the good news of Christ. You must be able to tell somebody that the greatest history story in the story and the history of this world, and that is that God loves you, that Jesus died for you, that Jesus rose on the third day, that we were all sinners in our life, and we all need a Savior, do we not? You see, that's witnessing about who you are in Christ. It's telling people that there is a wages of sin is death. But then telling folks that there is a gift of God, which is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, that's working out your faith by being able to tell someone, to witness someone, that we're all sinners in need of a Savior. that the wages of sin is death, but the gift, a gift that God wants to give to you, is his son Jesus. And the Bible will tell us, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you know what that says? Thou shalt be saved. You see, if we're going to work out our salvation, we must love people enough to tell them the good news of the gospel. What was the one guy that said, you must really hate somebody. If you've got the greatest story in the history of stories, you must really hate them by not telling them of the good news. And that was an atheist who said that. You must really hate them if you're not going to tell them how to have eternal life. You see, as we work out our salvation, we have to be people that are willing to do that. To live in front of people, to be a light in a dark world, and to tell them, hey, I love you enough, I'm going to tell you how to have an abundant life here and an abundant life there. That's working out your salvation with fear and with trembling. In conclusion, how do we work our salvation? I'm just going to remind you one more time, and there's a list on the board right there, just so you can hit it again. That's the teacher in me, to hit it again. With fear and trembling, knowing that one day you'll stand before holy Jesus and give an account of your life. It's living a life, choosing to be obedient to him. See how I phrase that? Choosing to be obedient to him. To resist the urge to grumble and complain and to gripe and to criticize and be judgmental. Resist that. Seek a life that's pure and holy and blameless so that other people can see that in you. And then last but not least, be somebody who is willing to tell the good news to somebody that needs it. There's a reason it's called the good news. It should be called the greatest news. Be willing to share that with others. Judy, as the piano plays, I got one question for you, and then we'll be done. How are you working out your salvation? Okay. How do those things fit into your life? I don't know. You know, but I don't know. How are you working them out? And you see, Paul says, I want you to hear this because I love you so much. And Paul would say, I want you to be the strongest Christian that there is. And I want you to go to a church that is completely united. The Apostle Paul would say that. And your pastor Don would say the very same thing. I love you so much that I want you to be the strongest Christian influence that you can possibly be. And that you go to a church that loves the Lord and loves people and is united in the way they do things for the Lord. That's not rocket science, is it? But that's what Paul wants. That's what your pastor wants out of you. As we bow our heads and close our eyes, here's that phrase again. I don't know how God has spoken to you today, but I would urge you to do business with him right now. As you pray, do business with the Lord. If you've never made Christ your Lord and Savior, today's the day to do that. One day, you'll bow the knee and confess that he's Lord and Savior. Do it on this side of eternity, because the other side is too late. God loves you. Jesus died for you. Christian friend, how are you working out your faith? Working out your salvation? What areas do you need to do better at? Talk to him about it, if you would.